Thank you, brothers and sisters, for allowing me to be here this morning. I feel rather privileged to give the words of exhortation. And as the brothers before me, I also bring the love and the blessings of the Tennessee brothers that were not allowed to come here this morning and through the gathering. They wanted to indeed, and they didn't want to miss such a fine gathering, but I promise them that I give their blessings and their love to you all. Yesterday, I had a brief conversation with Sister Esther. Unbeknownst to both of us, we were baptized on the same day, and every time I see her, I always think of my baptism. And as I told you earlier, at the wonderful barbecue at Steve's house and Elizabeth that they put on, that it was not until that night that I realized that it's most of all the people that are now sitting before me here this morning where I very intently observed you, because I wanted to see these Berean Christadelphians. Before I was baptized, I didn't have never heard of them before. So I was being rather very attentive, watching their mannerisms and the way they conducted themselves, because I wanted to make sure that these people that I was growing closer and closer to, that I wanted to be like them. And that's exactly what happened. Very impressed by the way you conduct yourselves. And in this day and age of the wickedness and the stories we hear, they're just ramping up, getting more vile every day. The shocking news in our newspapers every day, we've become dulled down to see the violence. And it's more important, as I said that evening, that you give us these examples, because I myself, I need them to see how it's done, to see how the brethren carry themselves and unbeknownst to all the wickedness that's around us. So please continue doing that, because I can tell you this, that I'll be watching. And even though people that are looking at you from a distance, they may not say so, but yes, they're looking at you too, and they're observing the way you handle yourself. And as we know, the great Lord in heaven, He's watching. So let's continue with all these great examples that we see each and every day, because it is most imperative, it strengthens us to continue on our walk. That being said, Daniel did more of the same for his brothers and sisters in his day. Thousands of years ago he did this. So at this time, as Brother Arthur had stated, my exhortation is titled, Danley, O Man Greatly Beloved. I'm sure you'll find it, you'll see the examples that he left with his brethren that have stood the course of time, and we have for us here this morning as well. So we'll just continue and give our brothers and sisters these great examples that keep us going. The book of Daniel gives us countless examples of dedication to Yahweh, courage under less than desirable conditions, and triumphant success while holding true to the faith, every one of us gathered here share today toward our Lord God in heaven. The story of his life, his dealings with kings, wise men, and prophets of both good and evil, has been given to us as examples in regards to our walking conduct, our dealings with problems and controversies as they come and go in our lives, and not at least of all to mention that we should feel privileged to have these records of how various struggles and challenges are overcome by prayer. We are shown how faith continues to strengthen during times of uncertainty and under a multitude of situations. It only reassures us that we should hold firmly to these examples for the true gems that they are. We know that Daniel's name means judgment of God, and that he was from a noble or royal descent. There is not much written as to Daniel's family, his mother or father. All we know is that he was born approximately in the year 623 BC and was from the tribe of Judah. We can feel quite comfortable about this, since we find in the writings of Daniel 1 and 3, where it states just before the first group of Israelites were taken captive, we see how King Nebuchadnezzar was speaking to Asphenas master of his eunuchs, and commanded him, saying, that we should bring certain of the king's children of Israel and of the king's seed. It is quite probable that Daniel was a descendant of King Hezekiah, since we find in 2 Kings 20 and 18, where we see the Lord stating to Hezekiah, after he had shown all his precious things in the palace to the son of the king of Babylon, Berodach-Baladan. We read, and for thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar was attempting to remove the young and very best of the royalty of Judah, since he thought that they would be most pliable to be converted and trained to the Chaldean way of thinking. However, one challenge he may have overlooked is that one of the first priorities in a Jew's life would be their earnest instruction and training as to the Word of God. The learning to the ways of the Lord that Daniel had been instructed in at such an early age would come to provide a foundation that would allow him to overcome great challenges. And King Nebuchadnezzar would soon realize that his plan for these nobles would be anything but ordinary. At this time, I would like to point out that there had been quite a bit of controversy and argument as to the timeline and proper historical placement as to this very book. Some critics' stance was to state that from some of the Greek terminology used in reference to musical instruments in Daniel 3 and 5, such as the seven-string harp, that it could not possibly have been in use or even reached Babylonia at this time. This harp, which was invented by a Greek poet and musician, Terpander, in 650 BC, was and also confirmed to be found in use in Babylonia less than 25 years after this date due to the excavations of ancient Greek cities in Egypt. Another popular view is that it must have been penned in later times, since it was felt that Greek trading routes were not existent at that time. However, after artifacts such as clay tablets, rolls, and other items found in excavations, it was confirmed that a busy trade route was active between Greece and Babylonia a century before the book Daniel was ever written. I have also found that in the book of Daniel, it has been attacked by a number of critics also in modern times. However, a 19th century English scholar by the name of George Rawlinson, who had written in 1860 in his book entitled Historical Evidences, which show how these claims have been nullified by findings such as a cylinder unearthed among the ruins of Ur in Chaldea, with written inscriptions that assist in justifying the book's accuracy and historical timeline for those who just can't find it in themselves to believe. These same individuals may say, how do you know that to be true? Well, then we can simply use one of the many examples that we have and state through Bible scripture why we stand fast to our belief the way we do. Simply use verses such as Matthew 24 and 15, where the Lord Jesus instructs his followers, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. This is only one of the many topics of reference we can state for quite a long list of instances when non-believers start saying that the book is not accurate or the timeline is incorrect. Yet once again, another verse we find where the Lord speaks directly of Daniel's past writings, in teaching his followers as to the resurrection of condemnation, is found in Mark 13 and 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. There will be times where we must confirm our beliefs to others who may not share or feel the same as we do in relation to Scripture. These people may not believe that these words are wholly inspired and only want to hear what they feel are hard facts to prove to them that these words are real. Well, whatever their stance, we know the folly here, don't we? We simply must stand up and speak the matter boldly and accurately and in a manner in which the Lord would be pleased. After all, isn't this one of the examples of courage and conviction that Daniel himself has left for us all to follow? On how we must continue forward with our convictions, no matter how frightening or threatening the outcome may be. It seems like such a minor price to pay when we look at the trials that this man referred to as greatly beloved has left us to follow. As we have just stated, this book has been and will continue to be attacked, but only from individuals that will not and cannot share the faith that we all share. This book of Daniel has given us many examples of how we should place our faith in Yahweh with all our heart and not to be swayed about with any of these passing fancies and temptations that are all around us in our current age. We know that the Lord will strengthen us and deliver us over the challenges that we all face at every turn in this world of idolatry. Might I say, as to the title of this exhortation, Daniel, O man greatly beloved. As we know, this was said to the prophet in the later stage of his life by an angel as to his standings in the eyes of the Lord. If we think for just a minute, how would we feel if these words came to our ears as to our character and spiritual walk in Yahweh's eyes? How would that make you feel? Elation? Happiness unimaginable? Or maybe, how about happiness that would be called indescribable? Knowing that the way you have lived your life was found to be pleasing to the Lord. This is the message Daniel has left us all to remember. Through his actions, Daniel was unquestionably a cut above the rest. And then to hear, "For unto thee I am now sent," which left Daniel trembling. Certainly we can understand why this was so. We are being instructed by an angel sent by the Lord. This is not your everyday occurrence, and fear would be a normal expectation for any of us. However, the words we hear next would be welcome to any brother and sister that is sitting here. Fear not. Fear not was heard by Abram in a vision after he had rescued Lot from the battle of the kings. Fear not was also heard by Jacob after he was told that his son Joseph was alive and well, and that he should go down to Egypt. Daniel finds himself in great and fine company, and would now understand the many trials he had experienced throughout his life were all being realized in their purpose and for their intention. Needless to say, which he performed extremely well. Let this be an example to us all when we feel our prayers go unanswered, or things are not progressing in a quick and reasonable manner in which we would like them to. But rest assured that when you humble yourself and pray to the Lord for guidance and direction, if it is the Lord's will, you will be guided in the proper direction, even though at that time it may not seem like it, just as some of the cases Daniel had experienced. Daniel's determination to trust and follow the Lord's commandments were developed early in his childhood, when he was more than likely witnessing the stern rebukes that Jeremiah had delivered to the people of Judah for their ways of hypocrisy and sinful conduct. These actions could not go unnoticed and must have made its mark on this young man's early spiritual education, to say the least. We can see from the events that were unfolding, Daniel witnessed some of the history's greatest moments. The oncoming Babylonian power overtaking everything in its path. Jeremiah's example of unyielding faith in the Lord. He also was one of the first group of captives taken away to Babylon. And finally, not to mention all these experiences being combined with the finest spiritual training, certainly made an indelible mark in his character. These principles continue to assist him in becoming the outstanding example we all have come to admire and respect. Once again, we see by example how important it is for parents to instill a strong spiritual basis on their children when they are young, and how it will continue with them the rest of their lives, so that they will be successful in making sound decisions on their own, treating others with upright and moral judgment. Needless to say, this spiritual training will assist them in becoming acknowledged themselves for their upright character, and finally, most importantly, never forgetting their faith in the Lord. At this time, Daniel finds himself taken captive with his friends and companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, along with craftsmen, masons, smiths, and any productive person that Nebuchadnezzar could utilize in assisting them in rebuilding the city. Now, for a minute, let's just place ourselves in the shoes of the people left behind. We can see how easy it must have been to be mistaken that you were the ones that have been spared, and that the others who have been taken were the ones to be lamenting for. However, it was just the opposite, wasn't it? For we find in Jeremiah 24 and 5, where Jeremiah is personally instructed by the Lord in regards to the good figs and bad figs, where we read, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into a land of the Chaldeans for their good." Daniel's past training and instruction has now come into play, where at this very early age, his fortitude and determination was placed into action, being tested, and he has succeeded to be an example to those around him in how to conduct yourself in a way pleasing to the Lord. We can only imagine the responsibility that was upon Daniel's shoulders. He was always being seen by others as one who would do what's right and be an example that one should follow. Right from the beginning of his captivity was his zeal for the Lord's word noticeable, and his actions proved it by his determination not to defile himself with meat or wine that was provided to him, even if it was appointed by the king. Many men, just like ourselves here today, would be scared beyond measure to confront the king in such a manner. That could very well end with our lives being taken. I know I certainly would be a bit scared, to say the least. It was quite common among the people in Babylon and elsewhere to offer both clean and unclean animals in sacrifice to their gods, as well as an outpouring of the wine in the same manner to these gods as well. Daniel would have no part of this. It certainly was not about the food, that was not the problem. But giving anything to idols or gods of any kind other than the great God of Israel would be seen as what it truly was, weakness and folly. It would not be done now or any time, no matter what the consequences may be. This is the type of determination that we desperately need today. And if I might say, it is quite rare in our time. Daniel did what he felt was right. He would not do anything that would place himself in jeopardy with his God, and would not let a king or any situation do the same. What a great example for us to follow in these times we ourselves are living in. Even though it has been over 2,600 years since this example has passed, nothing has really changed. At this time in history, Babylon was going through what some may say was an economic building boom. Money was being spent from recent conquest and spoils gotten from other countries, and things couldn't be better. Our lives today can certainly see the similarities of these times since past. We build as there will be no end to the pleasures that seem to be never ending. Fleshly man continues only to outdo and to build the next with its grandeur and splendor of pomp and glitter. Sinful tendencies wish to only outdrink, outeat, outspend, only to impress others as to the magnitude of wealth that can be spent on things that soon will come to pass. The ebb and flow of power around the world is all but evident to the Bible student, and we all know what the ultimate outcome will be in the end. It is examples like these given to us by Daniel that confirm how we should be leading our lives, that we should conform to the Lord and perform His will, adhere to His commandments, and as difficult or frightening it may be, try as hard as you can to endure to the end, for the Lord will not forsake thee. Daniel's life was truly in jeopardy, but his faith was strong beyond measure. This is but one of the priceless examples left for us all to follow. As we continue on, one of the most recognized chapters in the book of Daniel, I have found to be even people who are not in the truth are aware of this episode in history, Daniel's delivery from the lion's den. This example of strong faith in the Lord's power to deliver one out of an extremely dire situation is one we find easy to remember, and also in the same respect, easy to never forget. Even back in Daniel's time, man's awful, fleshly, sinful tendencies of pride and selfishness was alive and well. As I had stated earlier, that it had been over 2,600 years and still people in positions of authority And for that matter, all walks of life are still being entertaining into the thoughts of greed, struggling for positions of power, begotten any way that one can, and usually found to be found deceitfully begotten, and gravitating to the things that seem to harm us, and others, as I might say, rather than the things helping one another. We should all take heed as to how these lustful tendencies are so ingrained in our mind that it is always a constant struggle to keep these fleshly tendencies at bay, and we all know it is for our own good. Upon stating those points that we just touched on, it was because of what was written in chapter 6, verse 4, that created those points of view. We read how the princes attempted, but could not find occasion against Daniel, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Obviously, he was faithful to God, and gave praise and thanks to him. He was faithful to Darius as well, and as we know that Darius was a title used by Persian monarchs in addition to other titles they claimed, but nonetheless, whether Darius the Mede or other people which he had dealings, Daniel gave respect and was faithful to them as well, as long as his sincere priorities were given to the only true God in heaven first. Because he knew that by doing so, the Lord would deliver him through any situation as long as his faith was honest and true. Daniel would not allow anything asked of him to conflict with the glory and the honor that he would give to the Lord. And in addition, we are told he always prayed 3 times a day to the Lord for all the blessings that he received each and every day. And as we read on, that was the only way they were going to find fault in Daniel, since he was found to be upright and of an excellent spirit above all others. Now certainly, Daniel was quite aware of the new law that was instituted just to catch him in a snare of these jealous princes so they could be done away with him and they could be about their greedy ways and finally allow themselves to acquire wealth, which was their original intention right from the start. Daniel could have just kept out of view and avoid any unpleasant situation. It may have resulted in doing anything that may be seen as unlawful. What harm would it have been just to lay low and not present your prayers before the Lord to be so public? Would there be any harm in doing so? It most certainly would. Daniel realized immediately that it would only and could only be seen for what it truly was. Weakness that would eventually result in failure, and this was nothing that he would entertain in the least. So at this time, Daniel is seen praying, and he has prayed so many times before, and is seen by his conspirators, and then having been brought to judgment, is cast into the den of lions. At an age of approximately 90 years old, his faith is being tested, but however, never weakened, always steadfast and unshakable, knowing that the Lord will deliver. Just as a large stone sealed the opening here with Daniel, so it was with the Lord as well. And in both instances, the next day, each were brought forth alive. The next day, very early upon arriving at the den, the king cries to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? We next hear Daniel speak to the king. My God has sent his angel and has shut his mouths, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they would not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. The king had spoke the words to Daniel, whom thou servest continually. This was Daniel's strength. And in an uncertain world, and this is another gift that he has left for us to remember, continually. No matter what the road looks like ahead, if we place the Lord first and continually serve him, not just once a week, not just during times of uncertainty, not becoming lax when times are good, but continually and with a faithful and humble attitude towards him, we can always trust that he will deliver us, just as the example Daniel has given us here. The days we live in today can certainly seem similar as the lion's den in Daniel's day. Daniel lived among people who were jealous and envious of the position he had been given, only because no error or fault could be found in him. Have you ever found yourself trying to do the right thing, to be called old-fashioned or a Johnny Do-Gooder? People envious of you for doing what is proper. Daniel, he continued to pray to the Lord in heaven, regardless of newly instituted laws, which were now seen as the only way to worship. Have you ever found yourself being made fun of, or being called old-fashioned, or not living like everybody else, because the truth may seem too rigid for the new lifestyles we now have? Daniel's accusers met their fate as they deserve. How many instances can you remember when you have done what's right and things just fell into their proper place? And the others that wish you had not done it, they had found that they got their just rewards. We continue on in reading in chapter 9, after the Babylonian power had been defeated, where Daniel realized that at this time, from the writings of Jeremiah, where it states in Jeremiah 25 and 12, "And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord." Daniel understands now that the captivity of 70 years was reaching its end. Although certainly excited with this realization, he does not stop, but continues to pray fervently to the Lord for the sinful things that had been done by the people and for their wicked ways. He prays because he knows that they have rebelled and departed from the Lord's precepts and judgments. And because of this, he understands that it will be through the Lord's mercies that an end would be granted. Daniel continues on with the prayer, knowing that the severity of Israel's sinfulness, where he earnestly makes a prayer, knowing that the severity, and to the Lord in verse 16, "Let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins." As we read in these verses 16 through 19, one can feel the intensity and the passion as Daniel was pouring out everything to the Lord for the failures of his people. At this time, the angel Gabriel touches him and gives him skill and understanding as to what will follow in the days to come. But even Daniel was not told everything as to the end of times. He had done so much, and now his time was over, as we read in chapter 12, verse 9. Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Our time spent here today on the triumphs of Daniel, as he overcame significant obstacles, leaves us with much to consider as we see the lessons he has left us in regards to his strong faith, his desire to worship the Lord, and his strong determination not to be led astray from his beliefs. These lessons from Scripture will continue to stand the test of time, and men of this caliber of Daniel will go on to leave an impression on the minds of Bible students now and in the days to come. We can only be appreciative as to the sacrifices made by those who came before us, that we might see what is truly important in this present life, and give praise to the Lord for all His blessings and mercies that He bestows on us each and every day. As we see these emblems before us now, we will remember the sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life so that we would have an opportunity for salvation, and also take this time to review our lives, that the things we have been done in a manner that would be found pleasing to the Lord and give Him the praise and the honor that He so rightly deserves today, tomorrow, and forever.
We'd like to thank Brother Jim for the advice, though, for these words of exhortation this morning.